Good morning. You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM radio. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture, and featuring the St. Helena Farmer's Market. My name is Kelly Foster, and I'm one of the volunteer board members for the St. Helena Farmer's Market, and I'm happy to welcome three very special guests today. Chef Rebecca Pizer, Professor of Culinary Arts at the CIA Greystone, representing the school's farm-to-table program. Rob Cerini, owner of Local Q707, a very popular vendor at the market with his mobile barbecue, and Jenny O'Cone, executive director of the Up Valley Family Centers. Our market is located at Crane Park in St. Helena, and we're open every Friday, May through October, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. In addition to providing exceptional seasonal produce from local farms and growers, we also offer a wide array of prepared foods and beautiful artisan goods. Our market is also privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us to also focus on a variety of community education programs. Our 32nd season is well underway, so we hope all of today's listeners have a chance to come out and visit us on Friday mornings. Our first guest, Chef Pizer, is a faculty member at the Culinary Institute of America and is in charge of the CIA's farm-to-table program. As part of the curriculum, she and her students are vendors at the market. Rebecca, thank you for joining us today. I have to say, we're so grateful to the Culinary Institute for all of its support of the St. Helena Farmers Market. Just to share with listeners who may not know, the CIA has participated in several chef's demos and lectures throughout our season, and they are done by current culinary students and have been hugely successful. Lars Kronmark is an adored professor on the faculty who has also served on our board for many years. So we're thrilled to have the farm-to-table program represented at the market. To begin, the CIA is fortunate to have some incredible facilities here in Napa Valley. Chef Pizer, can you give us a brief breakdown of the two campuses, Greystone and Oxbow, and what they have to offer?
Of course. Well, I teach up at Greystone, which is in St. Helena. It's a legendary building that looks a lot like a castle if you haven't been there before. We teach all of the professional programs up at Greystone. Once Greystone was the main building for all of CIA California, now with the purchase of Copia, all of the public programming where you could come and take a class on your own with your family members and friends or come see a demonstration, as all of those programs are being held at Copia.
Excellent. And tell us, how did the farm-to-table program get started? And tell us a little bit about its philosophy.
Sure. Well, a few years ago, we had a very legendary chef named Larry Forgione, who is considered to be the godfather of American cuisine in the United States. He started this program, and he was running a program where the students held a sort of pop-up restaurant called the Conservatory. They got to work on the farm, got to meet a few local producers, and then every weekend they would showcase what they grew at this restaurant. When I took over the program a couple of years ago, I wanted to shift away from running a restaurant and instead get these students out into the community and help them realize that while running a restaurant is a wonderful thing, it is something that they've already done in their schooling in previous years. I figured having them be a part of the community and learn firsthand from farmers and producers all around the Bay Area would have been, a better use of their time. And I thought one of the best community things that we could have done would be to run a booth at the farmers market and get the students to be more comfortable speaking about what they're doing and what they're learning with the customers themselves, as well as feel really proud about the stuff that they're growing on the farm and be able to speak to that as well. We also held a couple of weekends ago a farm dinner where we invited all of the producers that were a part of the students' education, who are all producers I've known for many years here in the Bay Area, to come and be our guest and experience what the students had to do creatively with the products that they generously donated. And the students chose a charity called the Planet Bee Foundation to help save the bees in Northern California to donate part of the proceeds.
Excellent. Now tell us a little bit about where the farms are located and how much participation the students have in the process.
So the main farm that the students work is on the Charles Krug property, which is right across the street from Greystone. We have about 3 acres there, which are farmed by a farmer named Matt Gunn, who unfortunately just recently left us to go move to Half Moon Bay. But we have another farmer, Mac, who's been working with the students as well. The students are on the farm mandated. They have to be there twice a week, but we gave them this year into teams a farm plot of their own that they had to grow certain varieties. variety of fruits and vegetables and herbs under certain parameters for a project. And so for the most part, I'd say those students were on that farm almost every single day taking care of their plant babies. We also have our Greystone campus, which has a host of various different fruit trees and herbs that we use throughout the campus.
Excellent. So are the students involved from everything from seed to harvest, and do they have any influence on what you guys choose to grow and what you choose to bring to market?
Unfortunately, because we have to have the plots already sort of taken care of and nutritionally fed as well as tilled for the students when they get there, I have planned out what I believe are most of the things that during the short time that they're here for 3 months that they will be able to see from seed to harvest. And the students do get a chance to plant their own seeds, to till the soil, to feed them, to water, to set up irrigation. So they've had a hand in every single thing from seed to the plate.
That's wonderful. And each week you guys show up with the most spectacular array of produce and delicious samples. Can you tell us any sort of funny stories or unanticipated things that may have come as a surprise to the students when they came out here to start farming with you?
For sure. Well, I have students that mostly come from the East Coast. We had a couple that were from here in California, and a lot of them had never actually seen some of these fruits and vegetables that we dealt with. Many had never planted a seed before. Some have never really been a part of the experience of really understanding where their food came from. I had one student who was a vegan and a baker, and was very surprised to find out that most food, if you really think about it, isn't vegan because there is manure in a lot of the soil that is used and a lot of the nutrition that is given to the plants. And so I think she was a bit disappointed to find that out. But I will say the biggest surprise for her, as well as I think for me, was to find her almost at the helm of the day when we actually butchered a pig that we had seen being slaughtered out at Hudson Ranch. And she took the saw from my hand and began to take that pig apart. And I believe that she had a better understanding that if she's really going to be a part of understanding where food comes from, that this was a part of the process.
Wow, that must have been quite an experience.
It was.
And this program seems to be such a wonderful way for these students to really become part of the community in an extended way. What other sort of elements of success do you really see this program in the community?
Can I read from something that
Please.
The student wrote? Part of their program, the last thing they have to do is submit a journal that they have kept along the entire time that they've been at school with me. And it has to document their emotions, feelings, and sort of thoughts about all of the experiences that we had. And so I want to read for you an excerpt from one of the students here. He says, "We all play a role in this movement, the farm-to-table movement, and we must accept our obligation to Mother Nature to return to her what we take and then some. Every day of this semester, I learned more, and it just makes me thirstier for more knowledge. To the world, I hope to give my very best effort at bettering it for generations to come. I plan to move forward with my initiative to plant community gardens across the country. I hope to give children, the disadvantaged, veterans, and homeless people a voice in the agricultural community. I'm confident we are on the right path for a new American food system, and with time, I sense we will exceed any past culture we thought we had lost. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it a new opportunity. Let's make a change together."
Wow, that's really extraordinary. It's really wonderful to see your students each week and everything that they're bringing to market and how they're really interacting with the community and taking that back home with them. That's really quite touching.
I think it is too. And for me, I think the greatest challenge was to get some of them out of their shell and to be able to feel comfortable in their own skin, speaking about themselves, their experiences, and all of the products that we have here in the wonderful Northern Bay Area.
Wow. Well, we're really sorry to see the farm-to-table booth close for the season. I know your students have left, but we are really looking forward to you returning next season and seeing what comes to market next year as well. And in the meantime, we're also looking forward to the famous community pancake breakfast featuring Chef Lars's sourdough pancakes. If you have never been up to our market for the sourdough pancake breakfast, it's really a wonderful start to the morning. So I encourage all of our listeners today to be sure to sign up for our newsletter through our website, stalinafarmersmarket.org, to stay up to date on all of our community lectures, demos, and other programming. You can also follow us on either Facebook or Instagram, and we'll be right back after a short commercial break.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM on your radio dial. You can also stream us live at kvon.com. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. My name is Kelly Foster, and I'm one of the volunteer board members for the St. Helena Farmer's Market. And joining me today are Chef Rebecca Pizer, Professor of Culinary Arts at the CIA Greystone, Rob Serini, owner of Local Q 707 Barbecue, one of our fabulous vendors, and Jenny O'Cone, Executive Director of the Up Valley Family Centers. Rob, we are so lucky to have you at our market each Friday morning featuring all of your delicious barbecue and smoked meats. It's always a great start to the morning when the market opens with all these wonderful smells of food cooking away. Barbecue is really an art form. Tell us, have you always had a passion for cooking, and how did you get into the mobile barbecue business?
I've always had a passion for cooking, from, you know, our grandparents to our parents, you know, getting us moving on through life. So I just continued on. And some family members and some friends of mine said that, hey, your barbecue is pretty good. Maybe you ought to try, you know, looking into getting a restaurant or something. So I went and looked at the farmers markets, and there wasn't a lot of barbecue at them. So I picked that to start out with to get the business going. So.
Great. And you're always the first one to the market in the morning, I think, before anybody else. Tell us a little bit about your setup process and how you get those fires going.
Yep. It starts out at 4 a.m. We get up and then to the market at 5 to get the fire started. All the food that is cooked at the farmer's market is all done right there that day. Nothing prior the day before. So everything's got to be fresh. So we get there at 5 o'clock, get the fire started, start putting up the booth, and then at 6 a.m. all the temperatures are right and the smoke is right, and we fill the smoker full of ribs and chicken and some other meats, and then they're ready to serve by 9:30 or 10 a.m. when all the, you know, when all the market goers get there.
And you have this incredible rig that you bring. Tell us a little bit about how that works, and it, was it all custom made?
Yep, it was all custom made. There's a guy local here. I looked all over the country. There's some builders back east, but I found a guy right here in Suisun that is a barbecue builder. So I went and had a chat with him, and he told me, yeah, check this out. This is might be what you like, and then this will suit your needs. So we've had that thing full of meat every farmer's market since I purchased it over a year ago.
And it seems to have tremendous capacity. I mean, how many items can you put in that in any given day?
A lot of items. We've been very fortunate. We cook somewhere around 27 racks of ribs, 10 pounds of pork loin, 8 pounds of pork belly, 8 or 9 tri-tips, 20 chicken halves, some sausages. There's a bunch of meats that go in that thing a day. So
that's quite a variety.
Yeah, I mean, it is a variety.
Are they all seasoned very differently? Do
yep.
you have your own custom seasonings?
Yep, they all have a little bit different seasoning for the pork belly all the way to the pork ribs. But because I only have one smoker, there's a little bit of temperature that you have to maintain, and the big thing is the time. So because they're all different meats, they all come out at a different time, and I can't fluctuate the temperature so much. So it's all about the slow cooking and the time that it takes to cook the chicken versus the pork loin.
Wow, and your ribs are one of my personal favorites, and they seem to go for hours. How long does that normally take?
The best time to come and get the ribs are actually about 10 o'clock, because that gives them a good 4 hours of temperature between 180 to 195 degrees, somewhere right around there. And it seems that 4 hours is really good for the ribs.
Wow.
And then all the other ones, the chicken has to be come up to a certain temperature, and the same thing with the pork loins. So a little bit longer is okay on the ribs, but the pork loins and the chicken and stuff like that have to come out when the temperature's right, or it'll be too dry or overdone.
And it seems like all of your offerings are either great to eat right there on site, but also meant to sort of be taken away. And do you normally, you know, give people instructions and things of how to prepare them at home when they're ready?
Yep. Everyone has a question about, you know, if they take that rack of ribs home, you know, how to heat it up. And we have some instructions, you know, the same thing. They could put it back on their barbecue for a certain amount of time and a certain amount of heat, you know, to warm them back up, or in the oven, or, you know, if you want to do it in the microwave, that's fine too. But, you know, we prepare all the food ready to eat at the market. So it's not really a leftover when you bring it home, but it's ready to go when you take it home for lunch or for dinner.
Oh, and you make it so easy for everybody. That's really great. Often people seem to have really strong opinions regarding barbecue, whether it's the type of seasoning or sauce, or if a sauce, what variety of sauce. Can you share with us a little more about your personal barbecue philosophy?
Yep, I had to learn a lot about that, because I'm when you do a barbecue, or if anybody does a dinner at home, they prepare the food to what they like. And then, like at the market, I have, say, 60 customers come. So I've kind of had to find a happy medium with the spice, not too hot, you know, not too mild, just enough smoke. So after about 3 months of being in the business, I kind of figured out, okay, too smoky, too spicy, and I've got, I believe, a happy medium for everybody that comes.
Well, it's always really, really yummy. And for my family, it's great to be able to pick all of this up and take it home, and it's all ready to go. It's really just quite wonderful. And can you share any tips for the at-home barbecue lover?
One of the biggest things that I've learned in the barbecue business is the temperature. I think everybody needs a thermometer if they don't have one. And if they're cooking chicken, it's really critical to get that meat off of the heat when it's done, because if you leave it on, you know, 15 minutes longer or whatever, it starts to dry out whatever you're preparing, or, you know, makes it a little bit too well done, and, you know, that could be not pleasant. So the temperature is the biggest thing for me.
Wonderful. And Crane Park has been a really great home for the St. Helena Farmers Market for many years. What do you think contributes to it being a successful location for chefs and prepared food vendors like yourself?
I think just the size of the market is a nice venue, because there can be, I don't know what's the total amount of booths that are at the market.
We can have
be
as many as 50.
40. Yeah. So, you know, it's really hard. I've been to a couple other markets where there's not enough room for all those vendors. So I think the more vendors, the better. Everyone comes in, you know, to purchase their vegetables, their meat from local Q, the bagels, the coffee, the donuts from Napa are crazy good. They're early also, so that's a plus for me. I mean, at 5 a.m., it's good to have something for breakfast.
A good coffee and a little donut?
Yeah.
And with this smoker that you bring in each week, so that listeners know, where else can we find you to be able to find all of your delicious food?
Well, for right now, we're at the Calistoga Farmers Market on Saturday. That's my hometown, local. The local Q707 came from me being the local guy, born and raised right in Calistoga, fifth generation there in the town. The Q barbecue and the 707 is what we are, 707. So we're at the Calistoga Farmers Market Saturdays, and we're in St. Helena on Fridays at the market, and then we do some catering also.
Great. And for catering purposes, where can people find you?
Well, we don't have a website up yet, but if you give me a call, area code 707-529-7751, and I'll get back to you, and we'll take care of whatever needs you need.
Great. And I believe you're also on Instagram as well, correct?
Yep. We do have an Instagram account, and we're on Facebook, of course. The whole social media thing is pretty big, so...
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I encourage everybody to check it out. He's got some beautiful photos posted, and hopefully all of our listeners today can come up on a Friday and enjoy some wonderful barbecue. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back after another short commercial break.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.
You're listening to Napa's KVON 1440 AM on your radio dial. You can also stream us live at kvon.com. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, money for agriculture. My name is Kelly Foster, and I'm one of the volunteer board members at the St. Helena Farmers Market. And joining me today are Chef Rebecca Pizer, Professor of Culinary Arts at the CIA Greystone, Rob Serini, owner of Local Q 707 Barbecue, a vendor at our market, and Jenny O'Cone, Executive Director of the Up Valley Family Centers. Jenny, so nice to see you again. You and I had the chance to meet earlier this year at your St. Helena location. After we received a generous grant from the City of St. Helena, you were absolutely instrumental in helping us launch our CalFresh Match program. For listeners who may not know, the CalFresh program provides benefits to those families in need through the Golden State Advantage card. This card operates like a debit card. The market processes the CalFresh transactions at our general store, debiting the card in exchange for $1 tokens that shoppers can then use at the vendor stalls. Eligible purchases include items such as fruits, vegetables, meats, fish, poultry, dairy products, amongst other variety of fresh and wholesome items. With our grant, we are now able to offer a dollar-for-dollar match, thereby doubling the dollars available for qualified purchases. Your organization has been incredibly helpful in helping us spread the word, and we are thrilled to report more customers have utilized this match program as word has spread. Jenny, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to the Up Valley Family Centers.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. So I've been working in local Bay Area nonprofits for over 20 years and came to the Up Valley Family Centers in 2014 when it was formed as a result of a merger between two smaller nonprofits, the Calistoga Family Center and the St. Helena Family Center. I was really excited to come and be part of the integration of these two organizations into one, which would resultingly have more impact in the community as a bigger organization. We now currently have 24 staff and maintain our offices in both communities. We have offices both at in St. Helena and in Calistoga, as well as on the campuses of schools in both communities, at the middle school, at the elementary school in St. Helena, as well as the elementary school and the junior senior high school in Calistoga. So we're in convenient places where families can come every day, and we see them and are able to connect them to a lot of resources.
Wonderful. And the Up Valley Family Center serves this community in so many different ways, with a direct focus on healthy families and a strong community. Tell us a little bit more about the services you offer in each of those locations you just mentioned.
So our primary goal is to be a welcoming place for people to come and get information and resources. We partner with a lot of different organizations to make those resources accessible, because a lot of resources are really available in the city of Napa and Up Valley. It's harder to get access to different services. So we have four program areas, and through those program areas, we reach all ages in our community, from babies to seniors. We serve 3,000 people a year. The program areas are as follows. We have an education program that's focused on providing health and development type services to children and youth, from the little toddlers to elementary school and teens. We also have an economic success program, so that's really focused on helping families build their financial resiliency. We offer free tax services each tax season. We also have helped people access things like the CalFresh benefits that was our reason for meeting initially, and many other resources to support that. We also have a family and senior wellness program, which is really a lot of case management services for those families or seniors who may be in crisis, need access to counseling services or legal services or other things to support their their well-being. And then finally, our community engagement program, which offers immigration and citizenship services to our community, as well as opportunities for people to volunteer and get involved and be active. So we cover a breadth for our organizations up Valley.
Wonderful. And health and wellness for families are very clearly very important elements. Unfortunately, many of us take for granted access to fresh and wholesome foods. Based on your experience, can you speak a little bit more about the challenges that our community faces, whether it be food insecurity, cost, or access? And how can the farmers markets in our area help with addressing those needs?
Well, many in our communities do experience challenges with food access and just having enough money because of the high cost of living here. So one of the things that, you know, we try to do is provide lots of different options of resources to make their dollars stretch. And I think that's what's been so fantastic about the St. Helena Farmers Market and this match program that you have, because the farmers market, you know, when families are living paycheck to paycheck, they're going to use their dollars to the best that they can and get the most out of it. And so the match really provides an incentive for them to get access to the healthiest food available. And so that is a critical factor in terms of people being able to get by. I think, you know, one of the things that we noticed in over the past year, we were instrumental in responding to folks who had faced challenges as a result of the fires. And one of the issues that happened in Calistoga, the whole town was evacuated. And so people lost their food. And when you're on a tight budget, that throws things into disarray. So we partnered with the food bank, we partnered with the county, and there was a disaster CalFresh program that we helped people get access to so that they could weather that storm. And so it's those types of things that we really try to make sure that everyone in the community is familiar with and gets access to.
Great. And I know that the Up Valley Family Centers also offer some really special parent education and parent-child playgroups as part of your regular programming. Our market educator, Arwen Gallenkamp, recently visited your Niños Activos classes and loved seeing all of the gardening and planting that you've been doing in the back on site. As a small Up Valley community, we really look forward to partnering in other ways together. What would you like other nonprofit organizations in the area to know about the Up Valley Family Centers, and how can we all work together in a more collaborative way?
Well, I think that one of the things that all of our staff that we really try to do is be responsive to the community's needs. And that means listening and understanding to what the challenges are and also knowing what other organizations can offer. And so I loved the fact that the farmers market came to our Niños Activos group, you know, provided some information to them and did that direct outreach. And I think going to where families are, it makes it easier for them to be able to learn and know what's available. And so any type of partnership like that we have a lot of different programs. We help coordinate ESL classes and citizenship classes and places where people are going because they've identified that they need that service. And so if we can make connections that way to other resources, that works. I think that works really well. And
great. And for any listeners today who are interested in learning more about your programming and what you have to offer, where do you suggest they go to find them?
Well, we have a website. It's the upvalleyfamilycenters.org. And we also have a Facebook page. They can find us on Facebook.
Excellent. And tell me again, you've got two locations. One, I believe, is on Spring Street in St. Helena, and the Calistoga location?
We have multiple locations, actually. In Calistoga, we're located right on the campus of the elementary school, 1500 Cedar Street.
Excellent. Well, you're doing some really tremendous work in the community, and we really are grateful that you joined us today. And we look forward to working together more as we go forward.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back after another short commercial break.
You're a farmer or rancher. Your success depends on the weather, which means certain things are out of your control, such as rain, hail, fire, crop failure, and other unforeseen conditions. But you have a business to run. Protect yourself and insure your risk with American Ag Credit, so you can rest easy knowing that we'll be there for you no matter what tomorrow brings. American Ag Credit. Money for agriculture.
The This is KVON 1440 AM's Farmers Fresh Hour, and I'm your host, Kelly Foster. I'm a board member at the St. Helena Farmers Market, and I'm joined here today by three special guests, Chef Rebecca Pizer from the Culinary Institute at Greystone, Rob Serini, owner of Local Q 707 Barbecue, and Jenny O'Cone, executive director of the Up Valley Family Centers. And Jenny, you and I were just speaking in the last segment about all of the tremendous programs that are offered at the Up Valley Family Centers, including free tax preparation and a lot of school programs. There must be other busy times during the year where you really offer a lot to the community. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. Well, one thing I wanted to be sure to mention is that we have a big event coming up on Friday, August the 24th in Calistoga on the campus of the elementary school. We hold a big back-to-school family celebration. Last year, we had over 1,000 people come. Service providers, nonprofit organizations, and others are there in sort of a resource fair setting, but we also have a free meal and children's activities, a climbing wall, face painting, a lot of different activities for families that's really fun. And that will happen this year from 4 to 7, right there on the campus on August 24th. So we would invite people to come out, enjoy the evening with us. This will be our 15th year doing this activity, and we're looking forward to it and would love to see others there.
That sounds wonderful. And for folks who want a little more information, where will they find that? Will that be on your website?
It'll be on our website on the calendar section.
Excellent. Well, that sounds like a really fun way to spend the evening. And going back to Chef Pizer, can you tell us, you know, you guys are at the market from the very early start of the morning all the way through lunchtime. And we have so many vendors, as many as 50 at times. So a lot of the community is coming through each Friday morning. Tell us a little bit more about your setup process and how you bring your items to market.
Of course. Well, on Thursdays, we do our harvest, which is one of the students' regular farm days, and they're responsible for breaking off into teams and harvesting everything at the peak of its ripeness and then packaging it all up very beautifully so that we can sell it for the following day. The students are broken up into teams. There's going to be an opening team, a closing team, a team that does all the marketing and who writes recipes and informational handouts and does all of the signage for all of the produce that we're selling, as well as tying all the ribbons and then the nice packaging that you see. And then we also have students that will do a cooking demonstration, as many of you have seen early in the morning until we close. They'll do a demonstration showcasing all the best of the produce that's new that week, and then handing out the recipes and then selling kits so that you at home can take that recipe home and create it for your guests. I think that the most rewarding thing for the students, I think, has been getting to know the other vendors and working with them and visiting them and buying from them and having them come and visit us. Also having some celebrities come through as well. We had famous chefs like Jose Andres and Nathan Myhrvold from founder of Microsoft, who wrote the Modernist Cookbook. And then a couple weeks ago, we had Jimmy Kimmel. That's kind of a really cool thing for the students to see, that celebrities are just like regular folks who like to shop at the farmers market too. I think the response of the community has been really tremendous. Everybody's really happy to come by our booth, and they're very proud of the students, as I am as well. And it makes the students feel really good to hear how happy the community is to have them there.
That's really great. And tell us a little bit more about your students. Are they pretty farmers market savvy when they come into your program, or?
There are some that have been to farmers markets before and they've seen them. There are some that have never been to a farmers market before, and so it's really a wide array of their experience throughout life of, you know, what their experience is with farms and farming and farmers markets. I think by the end of it, every single student wants to have a booth at a farmers market, and they're going to go off into the world, and hopefully at least a handful of them will do something like what we've done.
That's really great. And in addition to the wonderful produce that you offer each week, I've also noticed that you sometimes will have beautiful jams and jellies and pickled things. I mean, are the students participating in that process as well?
Oh, yes. So, you know, some of the education that we give them in their advanced cooking class is all about preservation and teaching them about when is the right time to preserve a product and why would you do so. And so I've taught them about how to make jams and jellies and pickles and some prepared goods that are easy to make, fun for them to make, fun for the consumer to make. And so not only do we sell the packaged product ready to go, but we also sell recipes and the raw product for the customer to go home and make it themselves.
Well, that's really fun and a really great offering for the community. I can't imagine your students are, you know, going back to their own communities, and everything that they're taking with them is really quite wonderful.
I think so.
And Rob, since you're the first one there at the market, and you're probably one of the last to leave with your barbecue rig, I mean, you must be interacting with people all day long. Do you have any sort of funny stories you can share?
Yeah, that's part of the whole thing at the farmer's market, is that you're there early and everyone's walking by, you know, out on their morning walks, and they stop in and check to see what you're going to have for the day. And I think just the interaction with the people all day is that we have a booth at the farmer's market, not a food truck. So they could see in three quarters of the booth, or actually come around the back a little bit and look at the smoker. And the look on their face when you bring a whole chicken out or a whole pork loin and slice that for a sandwich, or, you know, just a customer that wants maybe a pound or two of the pork loin, the look on their face and their eyes when you cut that certain piece of meat or part out that chicken, you know, quartered or whatever, that's a big deal for me, because it's that 110% interaction with the people, you know, coming to buy your product. So, yeah.
And you must get some very interesting questions along the way.
Yeah, thousands of questions. How long, you know, does it take to cook the meat? And, you know, how do you do different varieties of meat all at the same time? And we talked about that a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. It's all about that low and slow, and everything's done at a certain time. And, yeah, I don't know too many questions about, you know, there's a bunch of them, but I can't.
Oh, I bet you get asked all the time.
Yeah,
what goes into your seasoning?
Yep, and everything. Is it vegan or is it vegetarian? And we do portobello mushrooms, and we do smoke portobello mushrooms, but we smoke them in the tank where all the chicken and the pork and the beef is done. So I don't
vegan.
Know exactly if it's vegan or not, but
not
they're pretty
vegan.
Good.
It may not be vegan.
They're good. It has that little bit of smoke from the meat, I think, and I don't know. So,
I'm going to have to try those next week.
Yeah, so
week,
we
those
just
sound
say
tremendous.
Vegetarian. I'm not, you know, it's pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
I think you were mentioning before about the customers that ask questions like, why don't you sell things like pineapples? And, you know, one of the things that I've taught the students as well is the fact that we're a certified producer farmers market, so which means that all of us who are growing have to sell what we grow. We can't sell what other people grow. And for that reason, everything is local and everything is seasonal. And you might notice that all of the producers that are growers have a sign that says we sell what we grow. And that's a really important thing to note, because it really does mean a lot to the local community, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that I get, is that, you know, where do you get, or do you have a farm where you raise all the chickens and the pigs and the cows? And I said, well, for me, that's virtually impossible, because we sell so much over the course of the year. I would have to raise, you know, 100 pigs and, you know,
you'd have to
a
have
cattle
your own farm,
farm
yeah.
And, you know, 5,000 chickens. I don't know, but it'd just be too big for me. So.
Well, I know some farmers that might be able to help supply you.
Yeah, so I might have to go to a little bit more local people and check that out.
And Chef Pizer, tell us, now that your farm-to-table program is done for the season, what else do you focus on the rest of the year with your additional students?
Well, some of the classes that I teach the most are cuisines of Europe and the Mediterranean. I really have a knack and a love of history, and I translate that to the history of food and why is food what it is in certain cultures and certain parts of the world. And teaching students about religion and culture and travel and how humans developed over time to create the cuisines that we know today. I find that to be a really rewarding class. I also, when I get back from my summer break, which starts at the end of this week, I will be teaching high volume cookery, which is all about breakfast and lunch cookery in a large volume setting, and then fundamentals. So it's, you know, we all run the gamut. All of the instructors at the school teach various different classes. Or we're not just stuck teaching one thing all the time, which I think helps keep us on our toes, and it helps hone our own skills, and we learn a lot from each other and from the students.
And for those of us who are not likely to become accomplished chefs like yourself, but are still interested in food and cooking, what resources does the CIA provide that might be interesting to listeners today?
Sure. The CIA offers something called a boot camp. And if you're interested in playing the role of a CIA student for a day or a week, you can attend one of these boot camps. We do have some that are still being taught up at the Greystone campus, but are now going to be moving down to the Copia campus and the new Heston kitchens that are upstairs at Copia. Please take a look. They're beautiful kitchens. And you can also just attend a demonstration, both at Greystone as well at Copia, which happen all the time.
Wonderful. And for the farms where you're growing the produce during the season, what happens to them in the off season? Are you able to keep those up in the wintertime and use the produce elsewhere?
Yes, actually, the bulk of the produce that is going to be grown on the farms for the rest of the year will provide the school with a variety of different vegetables and fruits. A lot of it goes into our Gatehouse restaurant, which is the final class that the students take before they graduate, which they run their own restaurant front and back of the house. And so a lot of that produce will go towards the Gatehouse. A lot of the produce goes towards all of the other classes that we teach as well.
Wonderful. And Rob, our farmers market goes through the end of October, so we still have a few months ahead to enjoy all your wonderful barbecue. But when our market closes, where else will you be in the off season?
Well, Calistoga is a year-round market, so we go there if it's not pouring down rain, you know, weather permitting. But we try to go there pretty much all year. And then we're looking into a little bit over in Sonoma County because they have some markets that go throughout the year. So we're gonna try and stay in Napa County, but we might have to go to Sonoma County for a few satellite markets during the winter.
Well, we certainly look forward to finding you throughout the year at all of those different locations and hopefully some catering locations as well.
Yeah.
Well, for the listeners today who are interested in finding out more about the St. Helena Farmers Market, I encourage all of you to check out our website, which is sthelenafarmersmarket.org. You can subscribe to our newsletter there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And just to remind everybody, the St. Helena Farmers Market is located in beautiful Crane Park on the west side of St. Helena behind the high school. And we're open Fridays, May through October, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And for tomorrow's market, which will open bright and early, we have a few additional guests and vendors that I encourage you all to come and check out. We have face painter Christina of Fantasy Faces, much to the delight of the children who absolutely love her work. We have Dominique's Sweets. We'll be making a special pop-up appearance tomorrow with her delicious desserts and pastries. We will also have Rachel Davies of Stella Reese Collection. She will be making her debut appearance this season with her beautiful handbags and totes. And we have a very new vendor who we're really excited to welcome. It's a vegan bakery, and they are under the name The Vegan Bakery. So I encourage everybody to take a look at what she has to offer. And we must extend a very, very special thank you to Farmstead Restaurant in St. Helena. For the entire month of August, their Corkage for Community will support the St. Helena Farmers Market and our community education programs. So I hope everybody stops in for a delicious meal, and do not forget to bring a bottle of wine. Again, you can find additional information at sthelenafarmersmarket.org and on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening today. We will be back in 2 weeks, hosted by our market educator, Arwen Gallenkamp. This has been another Farmers Fresh Hour brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture.
As a farmer or rancher, you know that agricultural land is not like other real estate. We know that too. Come see the experts in agriculture, American Ag Credit. Whether you're buying property, building, or making improvements, American Ag Credit is here to help with fixed rates, variable rates, long and short-term loans. Unique solutions tailored to your unique needs. Visit us online at agloan.com. American Ag Credit, money for agriculture.